Blog Talk Radio.
And we're pleased to be joined by Orlane Curla now on the broadcast. Orlane, welcome to the Edge of Liberty.
Thank you, Jason. It's a pleasure to be with you.
All right. Well, you're joining us today to talk about a very important bill that is supposed to be hitting not only the U.S. House of Representatives, but also the U.S. Senate as well. And this is called H.R. 5. Why don't you explain to our audience what this is?
Okay. This stands for House Resolution Number 5. And what it is, it's a reauthorization of a bill that was presented way back under President Johnson, called ESEA, stands for Elementary Secondary Education Act. And ever since it was created by him, and back when he created it, it only had 30 pages. But each year since, every time we have a new president, they think for some reason they have to reauthorize this bill. And each time they do so, it's always much larger and has more federal government control over our local schools. So the last time it was done was under President Bush Jr., and it was called No Child Left Behind. And I'm sure the listening audience will know the vast majority of people have never liked No Child Left Behind because it created even more federal controls and a lot more regulations for teachers, evaluations of teachers. It was tying the teachers' salaries to the test scores of their children, and the poor teachers were having to teach to the tests each and every day. Well, that's even made worse, of course, by Common Core and all of the government regulations that are being imposed on the states from it. Well, now the new version of the reauthorization of this ESEA is called the Student Success Act, and it's now 600 pages. And they're trying to say that it's going to actually give parents more control over their schools. It's reducing the federal footprint, restoring local control, empowering parents and education leaders to hold schools accountable. And, of course, that all sounds really nice, but none of it is true. And those who have really read those 600 pages have discovered that H.R. 5 is really a solidification of federal power over education, an attack on parental rights, and an affront to the independence of private education. And that's what I would really like to talk about, is the private schools, that especially religious private schools, that are under attack from H.R. 5. In the latest Eagle Forum newsletter for California called The Sentinel, on the back page, we have quite a bit written about this, and we have a quote from Crystal Swayze. She's one of the three moms against Common Core in Utah, and she writes a blog called whatiscommoncore.wordpress.com, and she points out several really scary things about H.R. 5. Page 72 to 82 tells about provisions for private schools mandating that their services, including materials and equipment, be equitable, secular, neutral, and non-ideological. It even provides for an ombudsman, which is a sort of police officer, to monitor and enforce the requirements. And what I ask in this article is, how can a religious school be non-ideological? That's what religion is all about. So that means that this school will teach no religion at all. And there are other equally scary provisions in this, but the fact that they actually provide for a sort of policeman to monitor these private Christian schools to make sure that all of this is in place. And fortunately, there were enough people to read that part of this bill, and there's been a lot of opposition to it. In one day, there were 18,000 tweets that came in with their people twittering, and I don't know how to do that, but
yeah,
lots of other people do. But anyway,
all right. Real briefly, when is this supposed to hit the House floors, and what committee is it supposed to be in, so people can go to their representative's webpage, email them, or call them?
Well, it's already hit the House, and now they're asking for the the Senate version to come out. And the Senate version, they're trying to say, is going to be better and they'll be able to compromise on it. But we're asking people to write both their House, their congressmen in the House and the Senate, telling them to not reauthorize this bill, to just let it sunset, which essentially means let it just fade away and die so that we don't have this anymore. Every time it's been reauthorized, it's been become worse. And so we're asking people to please contact their congressman and just say no more ESEA. We don't want it, and we certainly don't want this 600-page version of it.
All right. Well, folks, get onto your representative's website. Call in, fax in, email, do your stuff. We got to defeat this bill. Okay, moving on, you have a couple words to talk about those, the new GOP presidential candidates that have been coming out. We had the likes of Ted Cruz about 2 weeks ago. We had Rand Paul already announcing out as well a couple weeks back. And over the weekend, yesterday, we had Marco Rubio announcing that he's going to run for president. And then, of course, Jeb Bush announced way early in the year that he was running as well. And, you, of course, you're the president here of the Eagle Forum here in California. And you have a few words you'd like to say about those candidates.
Well, I like all of those four men except for Jeb Bush. And I do not think we need any more Bushes in the White House, nor do I think we need any more Clintons in the White House. They've had their term. And I think we need some new, fresh blood. I like both Rand Paul and Ted Cruz, and I think that both of them bring some really new, fresh perspectives to the entire candidacy for president. I am really impressed with Ted Cruz's father, Rafael Cruz. I've heard him speak, and he gives an amazing talk about his having been born in Cuba and then coming fleeing here to the United States. He really understands what liberty means because of what he experienced. So I'm sure he's passed on those concepts to his son. And we're actually having Pastor Rafael Cruz come and speak at our Eagle Forum conference May 2nd, but we'll go into that in just a minute. I would like to talk about Hillary Clinton, who just announced that she's running for president.
Of course, over the weekend, she announced via online more of a new age method trying to reach young voters, Orlane. And, of course, she tried to attract every bit of the audience when it comes to union workers, a lesbian couple, minorities, whether it be African-Americans or Asians. They were included in there. Within that regard.
Yes, that's true. It was very interesting last Saturday night for Saturday Night Live. The program started off with a parody of both Bill and Hillary, and really cleverly done and very humorous. It had Hillary essentially telling them that she's a brand new Hillary now, and she was saying what the old Hillary would do. But she's not that kind of a Hillary anymore. And you could see Bill nodding in the background and trying to get his head into the camera as often as he could. And she would tell him, no, this is my campaign. And anyway, you could see from what they were portraying, this is not a brand new Hillary. She is the same Hillary. And then the other interesting thing is, a cute cartoon has come out, and it just came out in our Press Democrat newspaper for Sunday. It's called The Scarlet Letter for the Clintons. Have you seen it by any chance?
I have not. If you send me that, we'll post that up via the SHR Media webpage for the Edge of Liberty for our audience to see. That should be interesting, but give us a description of that cartoon briefly if you can.
Well, if for the readers that are versed in classical English literature, there was once upon a book called The Scarlet Letter, written by Hawthorne, and it was about a woman who had this scarlet letter engraved into all of her clothes for A, which meant that she was guilty of adultery. And so in this cartoon, it shows the scarlet letter, a big capital A, on Clinton's shirt that he's wearing, on Bill Clinton's shirt. And then for Hillary, it's the little A with the circle around it that essentially is your access to the Internet. So he has the scarlet A for being guilty of adultery, and she has her little A for all of the crimes that she committed by erasing over 30,000 emails, and these were supposedly government document kind of emails, and as an elected person or an appointed Secretary of State person, she was supposed to be accountable for all of that and be accessible for a Freedom of Information Act request. But, of course, she somehow destroyed all of those, pretending that was just an innocent thing to do. So, anyway, I thought that was a very clever cartoon. They both have their own version of their Scarlet A that they're guilty of.
All right, we're almost out of time here on the program, Orlene. Real briefly, for our audience over on the East Coast, California, it may be in a government drought, but California has one of the best Eagle Forum conferences in the nation. Why don't you tell folks about the 15th annual Eagle Forum conference coming up on May the 2nd this year that SHR Media will be broadcasting?
Thank you for giving me that opportunity. We're very proud to announce our conference. We always have very many outstanding speakers. So this will be May 2nd, held at the Calvary Chapel Church in Costa Mesa. And that's 3800 South Fairview Street. And it's going to be starting at 9 in the morning, going to 4 p.m. in the afternoon. Some of the featured speakers is Dr. Mary Byrne. She's a PhD education historian from Missouri. She will give a presentation on how we got to where we are in education today, taking us all the way back to the Roman era, and really lets us know how the socialist aspect way back then is still peeking forth its ugly head in education today, and of course, especially in Common Core. And as I mentioned, we have Pastor Rafael Cruz from Texas, the father of Senator Ted Cruz, and he'll be talking about liberty and what it really means. Ann Schlafly Corey, she's the daughter of our famous founder of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly. She serves as the state president of Missouri Eagle Forum, and she'll be speaking on passing the baton, how to get youth involved in preserving liberty. Other speakers are Attorney Brad Dacus, the president of the Pacific Justice Institute. He'll speak on defending our religious freedoms. Myself, the state president, I'll speak about people who are making a difference in spite of great odds against them and how we can continue to soar in this battle to save our nation. We have we have other wonderful speakers, and I wish I had time to tell about all of them, but we would love people to attend. The name of the conference is Restoring America, and that's our purpose in presenting this conference.
All right, Orlene. Where can people get more information and get tickets to this event if they're going to be in the California area or like to come out to the California area, because there is a limited supply of tickets available?
Actually, the building will hold 1,500 people, so I think there will be enough room for everyone, but they can go to www.eagleforumofcalifornia.org, and there will be a place to register right there or to go to Eventbrite, and that number, how to do that, will be posted on the website as well.
And just search Eagle Forum Conference, ladies and gentlemen, and you should be able to find it right there on Eventbrite. Orlene Curla, thanks so much for joining us here on the Edge of Liberty.
Oh, thank you very much for having me, Jason. A pleasure to be with you.
A pleasure having you with us. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.